everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana. With me over there is Andy S. Mackison, Taylor Allen. Andy, how are you?
You ever see these TikTok things where it's like, what's your favorite celebrity interview before?
No.
Like those moments that lives in your head rent free or some shit?
Yes. Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about, Andy.
Taylor's aware of this shit. So I want to do a dual screen spin on that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Stephen, I'm hoping maybe Taylor, what Frasier moment lives in your head rent free?
Oh.
I'm out on this one.
Without a doubt, it's I Am Wounded. I Am Wounded comes in. I Am Wounded.
That's a good one. That's
completely rent free.
This is before my time, Andy.
We'll get you there.
Don't worry. It's part of your hazing. Taylor, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. My back still hurts.
Doing really good.
I'm lying. I think I might have COVID. I'm not doing great.
That's a good turn.
I've had this like really painful cough for like 4-5 days now.
Oh,
it's not fun. Mm-mm. So
you hear that, Mikey Kirsch? He got you.
Yeah,
one of you got each other because you guys met up at IRL recently. You don't think I don't know? The CDC knows. They're coming to get you.
Shit.
Your doctor license is revoked before you even got it, bro. Got him.
Listen, I
nailed him.
I would feel like the worst friend ever if I gave Mike COVID. Now, if Mike gave me COVID, that's fine. You know, if he was asymptomatic or whatever.
He's just so nice. It's like, all right, I'll let it slide.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. But if I gave him COVID, it would break my heart.
COVID's no joke, and wear your mask. Anyway, this is the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast. This is the internet's number one gaming news podcast starring people you've never heard of, probably. The show posts each and every week and records live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams and later as a video on demand on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. And literally, we're everywhere. If you want to listen to the show, it's one podcast network. You get this show, Crossplay Podcast, and you get the Dual Screens Podcast, which is our interview show with indie developers and indie voice actors and all that fun stuff and producers. And that show posts every single Friday for your listening pleasure. This show posts on Tuesdays. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul. We just recorded our Retro Game Club episode, which we cover three games, and we are going to be covering for the next Retro Game Club, which should be in only about a week or so, we are going to be covering The Bouncer, the Squaresoft 3D beat-em-up for the PlayStation 2 system, which came out in 2000, I believe it was. So if you guys want to get a little extra bonus content, you can do that. Retro Game Club is his own tier. And then we also have the bonus episodes that we do every month as well. All right. Now, folks, this show is a special show. This is going to be our end of the year nominations episode. We are not giving away awards yet. We are simply nominating them. And it's going to work in two ways. We have six categories that we are going to be giving awards for: best indie game, best multiplayer game, and then each of the first party games. So the best Sony game, the best Xbox game, and the best Nintendo game. And then we're going to do our game of the year. And we're just going to nominate them because not everybody played everything, but maybe something I played that I want to nominate is something Andy hasn't played. And then he could go and play it over the course of the next 2 weeks, from now is when we're going to be giving out our awards. So there's that. And then the other part of this is going to be our made up awards that we like to do whenever we go to, I think, Andy, did we do this for Game of the Year last year, or was it the last time we did this was when this was Nintendo Dual Screens? I honestly don't remember.
This is the first time I think this show is doing this because it's the numbers don't lie, Steven. We're in the 50s, so it's definitely
52.
The first time for this version of this show.
Sure. So we're going to do a couple of categories each, either three categories each, and then we'll get we'll do the show like normal. All right, so before we get into the news of the week, which should be a little bit shorter, let's get into the everybody's favorite current t-shirt. Go to dualscreens.com/store and buy yours today. It is the Adventures in gaming. Andy, let's start with you.
I took a break from playing old shit for a change for a couple of hours this past week, and I dove into Spider-Man Remastered.
Ooh.
Which, it's like a nice primer for Miles Morales, because I didn't play the DLC at all for Spider-Man when it first came out. And I'm enjoying it with a nice glossy ray tracing finish and amazing assets. And oh my god, that game, it's still so much fun to play. Just the combat, the gadgets, the suits. It was like, oh, old friend, you came back to me. Why did I forsake you so many months ago for other games? But I'm dying to finish it just to play Miles Morales. I'm just going to speed run through it right now just to get on with it. But I like Peter so much, and that world, it's dragging a little bit for me.
Do you like new Peter?
You know what? He's wearing the mask all the time, so he's still old Peter to me.
Sure.
So it's fine with, you know, I wear the mask and the bare chest, the naked Spider-Man.
Right, naked Spider-Man. Yeah, shirtless Spider-Man.
It's the best way to play. The only way to play, actually. Yeah. So there was an issue with getting my save file from the PS4 on the PS5, though.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, in a common sense reality that I live in, my save file on my USB that was on my PS4, took it out, put in the PS5. Good to go.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work. Okay. So I thought, oh, it says upload. Cool. I'll put it in the cloud. So went to the PS4, put in the cloud. Cool. Nope. Didn't work. Oh, I have to update the PS4, the latest software firmware shit. Then update Spider-Man. Cool. Gotcha.
Got it.
Update both. An hour later. Cool. Went to the cloud. Deleted it. New one in there. Great. Put it up there. Nothing. What? You have to actually go from your PS4, boot up Spider-Man.
No way.
Pick the save file and upload it from the menu into the cloud.
Good lord.
And then that will work on Spider-Man on your PS5.
Goodness gracious.
That was a bit of an ordeal for like a good hour and a half on, you know, this past Friday. But aside from that, amazing game.
Andy, I'm being accused of something in the chat right now.
Accused? Accused?
I am being accused of not reading Zach's Sony Pony review on our iTunes reviews back in October. And I vividly remember us reading that review on one of our shows. I don't remember which one, and I'll be completely honest about that. It could have been something that was recorded well in advance or whatever. I don't know. But I do know when that came in that it was read on one of the shows. So
I don't know. Let me see. Let me read it.
It was
the iTunes.
The title was almost as good, or great podcast, just like the Xbox or something like that. Like the best podcast, just like the Xbox. And then he accuses me of being a Sony pony in the review. Like, of course.
Oh, sounds about right.
You know what? You know what though, Steven? I think Buzz has you on this.
I remember reading this.
It sounds very not a memory to me.
I remember reading this vividly.
This was before my time, so
I think it was on Dual Screens podcast, because I remember our guest.
I recall us being likened to like a Jesus in a review one time. That was a thing you read once on the show.
Right.
But right. Buzz's words, as I read them now, do not know. This is definitely no. I don't know.
All right, listen, I'll read it. I'll read it right now.
Sure, read it.
I'll read it right now, even though we've done this before. So, you know, if we get hate mail, if we get hate mail now, you know, it is what it is. This is from Superfan Zach. This is actually technically his second review. He's reviewed before, where he's maybe it just updated. I don't know. But he definitely reviewed a long time ago. But whatever, I digress. I think he said he made an iTunes account just to make this review, by the way.
Yeah, that I do recall. That was in our offline chats.
Right.
That I do recall.
Five stars. Podcast is great, just like the Xbox. Although they are heavily biased towards Sony, and Steve is the biggest of Sony ponies, this is still a fantastic... I think that's what happened. I said we were going to read it, and then I read the first line in my head and said, he doesn't deserve it. I'm not going to read it on the show. That's what happened. That's what happened. I remember now.
All right, we don't have to read the rest then. We're good. We're good.
This is still a fantastic podcast that deserves to be listened to. Xbox is the most powerful console ever. The episodes are always fun and you will have a blast listening to them. Sony has no games. Make sure to check old episodes because they have a lot of amazing guests too. Xbox Game Pass is a must-have subscription. Enjoy their humor and fun and the fun games they play along with the guests too. So he was trying to do like Family Guy subliminal messaging in
every
in
other
his
line
review.
Is an advertisement for an Xbox.
He just wants to hear me say the words.
This feels
that's
like
what this
it's
is.
It's a sponsored review.
This is like him making a assy bagger account to get Taylor to say ass on his stream. That's what that was. 100%. He's tricksy, Andy. He's tricksy. Anyway,
and you call me evil. That's the real heart of darkness right there. I don't know what you're calling me bad for.
All right, listen, Taylor. What the hell you been playing? Is that it, Andy? Are you done with what you're playing? I don't even know.
You know what? I've lost the will to live at that point. So.
That's fair. Taylor, what have you been playing?
Let's go on to Taylor.
So, quick sidebar about Cyberpunk 2077.
Uh-huh.
I have not been playing Cyberpunk 2077 because I refunded it.
There it is.
And I will say I refunded it not because I didn't like the game, not because I wasn't having a good time, not because any of that. I think the framework of the game is amazing, and it will be one of the greatest games ever released once they can eventually get it fixed, fingers crossed, hopefully. That being said, I reached a story point, and I won't go too far into the details here, but I reached story mission about 20 hours into the game that I just got completely locked out of. No way to start the mission whatsoever. I tried everything. I tried re-downloading the game. Like I tried uploading my save file to the cloud and re-downloading it, like everything. And I just couldn't do that story mission. And I did not have the heart to start that game over again. And on top of that, the later and later I was getting into this game, the more frequently it was crashing for me. So I refunded the game. I used that money to buy a stream deck for my stream, buy some Christmas presents and whatnot. And do intend on buying that game in the next 6 months to a year when hopefully they get it fixed and the game is on sale. But I got to that point and just couldn't go forward anymore, both emotionally and physically in the game. So sure. I refunded it. That really bums me in. But on the bright side, I have been playing this little game that just keeps coming back called Stardew Valley.
Indeed.
And let me tell you guys, Stardew Valley is just one of the most pleasant gaming experiences ever. When that game first came out on console, my wife and I each put in 120 hours on our own save files. Like, we were obsessed with that game for months. They just released their 1.5 update, which is their biggest update yet. It added a couple of new maps, a ton of new items. It added new characters, an entirely new area. It added a lot of endgame stuff. But I picked that game up on PC because I had previously been playing it on PlayStation so that I could check out the new update and planning on streaming it on Mondays starting in the new year. So I'm very excited about that. But that game is just so pleasant. It is just like happiness encapsulated into a video game, and I love it so much. I'm so glad that Concerned Ape is continuing to support that game. The fact that a game of this quality was released and then continued to be supported by one dude is just absolutely awesome. So
yeah, that game keeps growing. That game keeps growing. It's crazy. I'm seeing, like, it becomes an obsession. I feel like it's hitting the level of, like, at least in on, like, Twitch and streamers and YouTube and, like, all that stuff. It's kind of hitting the level of, like, The Sims, where it's totally just something people play totally and chat with their chat, you know, like they just go through mm-hmm. the motions, do the thing. I'm excited to, you're starting a new series, right? In next week.
Yeah. Yeah, me and a couple of our friends who also stream Robo Dessert and Robert Highwind are starting a series. I've never played the game multiplayer, and neither have they. I've probably played twice as much of this game as the two of them combined, so I'm going to kind of like lead them through building our own little farm in Stardew Valley, and I fully intend to still steal Robert Highwind's girlfriend. So
that's fair. And where can people watch this?
Twitch.tv/itsperger every Monday starting 7 p.m. Pacific. So
wonderful.
Should be good. Very excited.
It's going to be great. Very nice. Can't wait. So I have been playing some older games. I have three. I started two of the three older games. Mm-hmm. I just had the PlayStation sale happened. Mm-hmm. And yep. I was like, you know what? Let me see what they have. Let me see what's going to tickle my fantasy, as it were. Mm-hmm. The first one I picked up was MLB The Show, because I haven't played
fantasy of you.
No, I haven't played an MLB The Show consistently since I think 17, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Like 17, 16 or 17. Yeah. Like I just kind of fell off of it. I didn't really have the time to like invest in playing all the time or whatever, but at $10, I'm in. I know the new game's coming out in like 4 months, mm-hmm. whatever. It doesn't matter. Maybe. Yeah, right. Exactly. And I don't think this next one is going to be next gen, like specific. I think we still have to wait a whole other year before that happens. It'll be on, there'll be a PS5 version, but it's not going to be like mm-hmm. a PS5 version. It's going to be
only
like a
PS5. Right, yeah. It'll exactly. be cross gen for sure. Almost definitely.
Yeah. So I played that. I did a little bit of, they have some cool, I know Taylor, you know this, but they have some cool modes. I'm doing the Road to October, which basically uh-huh. just lets you play key moments to try and either gain momentum or lose momentum as you're simulating the season. So like it'll say, hey, or they'll pull you into the seventh inning and say, you know, finish the game strong. And then you'll just go in there and try and tack on some runs. You'll have the lead like 3-2 and you have to tack on runs. And if you tack on a couple of runs, it's like good finish. Here's some momentum. And then they use that moment, whatever. So like, as you're playing
it'll
through
like simulate the next like two or three games, and then it will jump you into another moment.
Right. Typically. And another moment, one of them will be like,
ninth inning, something
yeah,
like that.
It, one of them, the one I had the most difficult with was like, have a good game with this guy. And like, mm-hmm. it's very jarring to be thrown into different defensive positions. Like for example, this guy was a first baseman, and every play they had me do was a double play, like every one yeah. of them. And like where the buttons are, like when I used to play the show, it was oriented to where you were looking. So like second base was yeah, actually so- X or whatever, because you're looking at home plate. But like in this version, it's actually just true. So it took me a couple of seconds to get used to that. I made a couple of dumb errors and whatnot, but the game is crisp. The game is really good, and I'm playing it on PS5 and it's running buttery smooth. Mm-hmm. I love the production value that they put into this thing. It reminds me of what makes MLB The Show really special, and that it's attention to detail, and they nailed it. I know it's an old game. I know that we're talking about an old game, but like this is all new to me. So I just want to say, like, if you want a baseball game to get you through the dark winter, like $10, go there and do it. The other game that I decided to buy, which I thought I had on PlayStation because I reviewed an expansion, but I guess the developer revoked the code because they must have given me a review copy. And that's Diablo 3. Mm-hmm. I own this on PC, but I yeah. am locked out of my Activision account, because I did two-factor authorization and then lost the item that
nice.
It had oh, attached God. To it, and it won't let me reset the password. So my Blizzard account is dead and it'll never come back. But I'm playing on PlayStation and I started my old monk character again. And the game is great. You know, we all know Diablo is a really cool franchise. But I figured out what I'm going to do with this game. Okay. A while ago, we were all talking, we were discussing, what's the game that we could all put on, turn off our brains, and just talk to each other? Just have a phone call, like get in a Discord or get on a party chat and just hang out and play. Yeah. And I think this is the one, because it's really cheap. I think it's $20. Mm-hmm. You get it's with all the DLC and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And you can just sit there and just mash buttons and collect loot. So I think I convinced Mikey Kirsch to buy it, if he's mm-hmm. in the chat. Hi, Mike. I think that's what we're going to do. We're just going to button mash our way to heaven. Now ask me why. Oh, and the other game that I bought was the Vanquish PS4 edition. Vanquish.
Oh, interesting.
Because I've always wanted to play it. Yes, I always wanted to play it. I heard very good things about it. I'm super excited. I think that's going to be a stream game for me. But ask me why I bought these games.
Yeah, ask me why.
Because I too refunded Cyberpunk.
Oh God.
And I had the money in the wallet. So the reason why I refunded Cyberpunk is very similar to Taylor's reasons. I think the game has a really good foundation. I think it could be as good, if not better, than games like The Outer Worlds or Fallout or Skyrim. I think it should be one of those four pillars going forward in the Western RPG genre. The issue that I have with it is that the reasons for me restarting or resetting the console, not because of crashes, but just because shit wasn't working, was outpacing hard crashes. Hard crashes, I know, will get patched out. Like it's a hardware, it's a PS4 game running backwards compatible on, you know, whatever. Like I know there's going to be crashes. I had 5 crashes. I think I spoke about all of those. But now what started happening was there was one glitch where I couldn't swap my weapons. So as soon as I ran out of bullets, I couldn't reload because I had no more bullets, and I couldn't swap weapons. It would just do like a hand motion, like you're swapping, but nothing would happen. I had to reset, go to a different save file, whatever it was. I picked a side mission, and the dialogue or the box came up of what to do, and then wouldn't leave the fucking screen. And wouldn't leave, and it was just blocking a third of my screen. And I was like, okay, so I had to shut off and restart. There was one where enemies were half in concrete, like they were walking with their torsos stuck in the floor, and you couldn't target them. You can't target them, but they could target you. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I had to restart. I already spoke about the car blowing up and nearly killing me, and then costing me $1,200 to replace for no reason. There was another one where you pick up, like, people are calling you all the time on your cell phone or whatever phone, or your iPhone, iPhone. And the wrong avatar would show up, and you're just like, what is going on right here? Like, that one I didn't reset for, but that was something I noticed was happening. Like, the wrong person was stuck up there. Just a lot of weird stuff like that, where it was just kind of, It was roadblock after roadblock. That's really what it came down to. It was like there was no game session. There was no sit down with that game, whether it was 1 hour or 5, where I didn't have to shut the game off and restart it at least twice for some reason. And I just think, I'll wait for PS5 version. Like, I'll wait for all this shit to get fixed. I'll wait for the PS5 version. They'll probably, the PS5 version or whatever version comes, or the Series X version, when that version comes out, it's going to be packed with apologies and thank yous for buying it. And that's when I'll rebuy it. But I could see myself getting this probably for the summer next year. But yes, that is why I'm playing older games. Of course, I am still playing some other stuff like Call of Duty and whatnot, but you know, it is what it is.
When you and I talked about this too, I just want to make it clear for people who are listening. Like, I talked about these issues. Steve talked about these issues. I don't want to speak for you, Steve, but at least the impression I got is we're both still very excited about this game. Like, the framework of this game is incredible. It's going to be a very, very good game once they can fix these. And I'm stoked to jump into it when it's fixed. It's just...
Yeah. Yeah.
Hard to recommend or to sit down and play it right now.
I didn't have as high anticipation for this game because I'm overwhelmed with all the other things that I have to play or want to play anyway. So like when the game came out, it was like, oh man, Cyberpunk's here. Fuck. Like, now I have to play this. So it was a much easier decision for me to put it on the back burner and be like, okay, I can move on from this now. And I'll come back to it later. Like, Andy, you had the right approach to this all along. You said you were just going to fucking wait. So you're waiting. That was it. Like, you didn't jump in. This did not sour me on what they were doing. I think that, yes, there are some uneven gameplay moments. There are some uneven, weird choices they made with character progression. And I think the gunplay is kind of shitty. But like those things, I feel like can definitely be refined over time. So I think I think it has a really, really good foundation, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do for that. One other thing happened this weekend on Sunday. We had a charity Apex Legends Duos tournament with randomly selected partners, and I beat Taylor. Moving on. That's your Apex minute.
Steve's team beat my team, but Steve also had like maybe the best Apex Legends player I know besides Peoples on his team.
I made him shine.
I don't want to dwell on this for too long, but what was the performance between both of you, comparison kills, deaths?
So he had about 40% more kills. He did have more damage. My purpose on the team was to show him where everybody is. Like he's got the better aim. So I played Bloodhound. And
there
it was,
get him.
Here's what we're going to do. And then I would scan and he'd be like, oh, good scan. Like you would hear, that's what the whole game was. The whole game was, oh, good scan. Oh, good scan. Oh, good scan. Oh, good scan. And he was like, bam, bam, bam. And I got my kills. I got my kills. Both of the victories we had, I had at least between 3 and 6 kills. Like I was doing work. I was doing work, especially that last one where I definitely had 6 kills, but they took one away from me because the person decided to quit the game before I could kill him.
No.
But
all right, well, bottom line,
we came in second place overall.
Because you won.
We came in second. No. I just beat Taylor. him and his team, I think, were in fourth or something like that. Like, we came in second. Mikey Kirsch's team came in first because they went bonkers. They had a 16 kill game.
Like a lot.
111 to 85, I think it was. Yeah, so it was not. We donated a bunch of money to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
It was very cool.
Yes, and we're gonna do more of those. And those, of course, were put together by Taylor and Billy the Door, our friend Billy the Door, whom we love.
Yes, we will have more tournaments in the future for different games. The upcoming tournament is for Fall Guys.
Fall Guys. January. Yes. So join us. That's going to be fun. All right. Andy, indie news update quickly. What do we got?
Oh my God. Hollow Knight Silk Song is getting an update. Ooh. I'm so excited, you guys. This is like, I think, one of my most anticipated games of, I hope it's out next year. I think that's the goal. Maybe. So Edge Magazine is doing a cover story on this. They've had hands-on time with the game. They've spoken with the developers for a long period of time. So this comes out, I think, the 31st of this month. So we're only days away from this cover feature story about this game. And Hollow Knight's an amazing series. This game looks incredible. That's all I'm going to say.
That's fair.
Get it. I love it.
That's awesome.
That is fair. Yes.
All right.
All right, so now it is time to get into our dual screens report. We only have 3 stories for the report this time because we're going to, of course, get into our nominations. Taylor, why don't you start us off with the first story here.
Okay. Believe it or not, gentlemen, I have scientific proof as to which game is the greatest game ever created in the history of games.
Okay, scientific proof. Yes, I am.
I'm all about facts.
Among Us, in the month of November, hit game from 2018 that has blown up on Twitch, as you guys know.
Right.
Had roughly 500 million active users in the month of November.
Holy shit.
A billion with a B. That makes it the most played game as far as monthly concurrent users.
Goodness gracious.
In the history of video games, according to a report from Superdata. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That is insane. That is more than the entire population of the United States by almost double.
I think we needed to do a dual screens among us.
Yeah, I think it has to happen. We can't avoid this forever. It's got to go down. It's got to happen.
Batchild and I have a standing appointment on Friday nights to play Among Us.
We do.
But our group is A little questionable sometimes.
No, we it's going to be a dual screens thing. It's going to be dual screens.
Right. Yeah.
Listen.
Get Matt in here. Get Mike.
Yes.
Yeah. This is very
exciting.
Get
Maltese, get Andy.
Yeah. It's going to
Buzz.
Happen.
Vegas, of course. Yeah. Got to have Vegas.
Oh, of course.
Vegas.
It'll be a good time.
Vegas is a G. Of course. You know what I mean?
All right.
But I just saw that and like, it's a lot of fun.
That's a lot of goddamn people. And hopefully they're spending money.
It's amazing. It's incredible. Like, you can't deny that game is popularity. It's like, love it or hate it, it's a sensation now.
Yeah,
when you have totally. You have congressmen playing the game on stream. So it's it's way beyond like what they thought it would be when it first came out.
I've mentioned this before, but I like to watch Disguised Toast and his group. Like, he plays with Pokimane mm-hmm. and like all those people. I like to watch him play because A, the way they talk to each other, it's very funny. They're not trying to scream at each other and call each other idiots and all that stuff. Like they're which is what our group does. We're like, we hate each other so mad when we play that game. But like, outside of that, one of the things that they said, it was like maybe a couple of weeks ago, and they've been playing this game since the summer, since like, I want to say August, and making videos about it. And one of the things I heard one of them say is, oh, you don't have your YouTube video yet. You didn't get your video yet out. Right. And then I was listening to him talk about this, and apparently their Among Us YouTube videos, their clips where they just do Among Us like imposter runs or whatever, have made them so much money.
Oh, I believe.
So much money that now they're calling it their YouTube video. Like, you need to get your video out of this session today. And I don't know if they're mm-hmm. playing while – I think they do play while they stream, but I'm not 100% sure. Like, some of them don't.
Yeah.
But they're so well edited and all that stuff. Like, this game can live on forever as long as they update it enough and keep it fresh, which, of course, we're getting a new map soon. So, very exciting stuff. Andy, take us into the next story.
All right. So, we've heard about the PlayStation 5 being the best-selling launch console ever to date. But now we have some actual numbers to go with that proclamation. So this comes from Gematsu.com, which is getting a source from DigiTimes, that the PS5 shipped 3.4 million units in its first 4 weeks of sales, the highest ever for a PlayStation console. Let's add to this that the production is going to ramp up to 16.8 to 18 million units next year. And we fucking need them too, because it was on Amazon for like 5 seconds, but they all sold out today, it seemed. And just to piggyback off this bit of news, there was a bit I saw on VGCharts.com the other day that in the first 5 weeks it was on sale, the PS5, it has outsold the Switch and the Series X. The Switch by 1.4 million units and the Series X by 1.72. units. So that's a good substantial lead for first 5 weeks out of a console.
Reading that report, it was like 49% market share or something like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah.
Like almost half the market right. share.
I just find it funny how there was all this doom and gloom about PS5 stock. Like, we're gonna cut production in half. We can't build the thing. They'll sell like 5 units on launch day, and now they've sold more than their competitors in the same exact right. time frame. So it's still hard to find.
Context is king here, though.
On, it is. It
you
really
know,
is.
The context of this whole thing is that, like, the PS5 had its struggles coming out of the gate from like, reviews perspective and, like, some units having issues, some weird software glitches and, like, stuff like that.
Right.
But they were riding the coattails of the previous generation's massive success.
Brand loyalty, dude.
And has done more for it. You know, like, it's just crazy that with all of the goodwill that Microsoft was able to garner the last 3 or 4 years, that it didn't move the needle for their next gen console. Now, of course, it didn't need to because they have Game Pass. Like, that's what they're really selling. Yeah. You know, so it's just, you know, optics and context. You know, optics are part of the equation here. And when you're a gamer and you haven't decided yet, you see that half of the market are running towards, you know, the PS5. between the Switch and the Xbox and all that stuff. And you maybe you think, okay, well, I guess that's where I'm going to want to go. And I've never heard somebody, you know, recently, aside from like when they actually launched, I haven't heard somebody say, when's the Series X going on sale again? I've never heard that. It's always, where's the PS5? Where's the PS5? Where can I get a PS5? Where can I? So, and I love, and that's coming from somebody that loves my little Series X, and I play my Call of Duty. It's my Call of Duty machine, and I love it very much.
I want to say something to Buzz in chat too, because he says Scalper's death helped out the sales for both. Those units would be gone whether they were scalpers.
Yeah, or I don't understand the logic.
Units would be gone no matter what.
They're still like, being sold to people. Yeah. They're not hoarding them in their basements.
And even if they are hoarding them in their basements, it doesn't matter. The people are in the queue to buy them.
It doesn't matter. You're still buying them.
Yeah. More people got denied in the queue than were able to buy that system.
Like, I have imagine
30 friends that are still trying to get their hands on a PS5 for retail right now. And that's just like the small group of people that I know, you know? Like, so many people are still trying to, and Xbox too. Like, I know so many people trying to get Xbox and stuff, but like, there's no way that those units wouldn't have sold out if scalpers weren't a thing. No way. They would still be gone within seconds of the sites going away.
Buzz, it is half the market. They've sold half the market share based on units. That's what that means. It's if you take the combined numbers of Switch launch sales in 5 weeks, Series X and S launch sales in 5 weeks, and PS5 launch sales in 5 weeks, Sony has half the market share in those 5 weeks because they've sold more than the other two. That's what the market share means. That's
math. Okay, so like really quickly, and I don't want to sit and argue back and forth.
No, yeah,
but this is what happens. You could join us too at twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams.
LOL, because they too sold out. Okay, then like, what the fuck is Microsoft doing? Like, why are they not putting out more units to match Sony's production?
Did they not make enough?
Yeah, like, I just don't understand what you're arguing.
There's no logic.
Like, Sony also sold out every single unit. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, all right. Sony had more demand. They probably made more than Microsoft did. It's as simple as that, exactly. I would imagine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Boy.
That's a game.
The next three DLC characters were possibly leaked here, folks. Just before Christmas, this one hit. It looks like the next three DLC characters are possibly being revealed from an unlikely source. Nintendo surprised Switch and Switch Lite players by revealing that Final Fantasy villain Sephiroth was coming in Fighter Pass Volume 2. Fast forward to last night, and the character is now in the Switch and Switch Lite game, leaving three more DLC fighters remaining. At the moment of publishing, they didn't have said to people. Okay, hold on. Okay. That said, earlier this year, in a message board post asking for Fighters Pass Volume 2 predictions, an anonymous user wrote that the following six characters, Min, Steve, Sephiroth, Doomguy, Ryu, Hayabusa, and Rayman. As you can see, so far, this anonymous user has predicted every single one correctly. Oh my. Is it possible? Is it possible that the next three, ladies and gentlemen, are going to be Doomguy, Ryu, Hayabusa, and Rayman? Andy.
I Gino could have been fucking Rayman, but Gino is a me costume. I don't like, I love these characters. They're fine. I love Ryu from Ninja Gaiden. I love Doom Guy from Doom. I fucking love Rayman. But now it's like, is it all guests now going on the thing? We've no more Nintendo legacy to tap into.
No.
The well is dried out when it comes to Nintendo characters. It's like, at this point, even though I don't like it, give me Waluigi because he's a Nintendo character. And I think they deserve some precedence. Like, they should be in the game. But I feel like there's banking on, like, who's the next big guest we can get
right.
in Smash. And it's fun. I love it. But
this is what they said they were going to do, though.
I'm kind of guessed it out
a little bit. I feel weird about Doom Guy. That's the one that gets me. It would be really cool, and I'm sure his moveset would be awesome. But like, the man rips demon skulls apart with his bare hands, and you want him to go fight fucking Jigglypuff? That makes me uncomfortable.
It works for Solid Snake and Samus, I guess. They're kind of violent.
Solid Snake doesn't grab people from their jaw and like tear them apart.
I mean, neither does Doom Guy. He does it to weird alien or demon creatures.
Well, you know, Snake snaps next when he's like doing his stealth.
And he also he also dry humps them from behind.
You know, Sephiroth wants to end the world with a giant meteor.
I just think Doom Guy is a little more gritty than what we have ever seen in Smash.
I don't think we're arguing.
You know why? You know why I don't want Doom Guy? For all the Doom Guy Isabel shit's gonna happen the second he's in the game.
It's gonna be real weird.
And I'm like, I want to avoid that clusterfuck of bullshit. Yeah, so.
All right. So now it is time for our nominations. We have six categories here. We have best indie game, best multiplayer game, best Sony first party game, best Nintendo first party game, best Xbox first party game, and of course the game of the year. We're going to start with indie game. I have a couple that I want to nominate, but the first one I want to nominate is a game that I did not play nearly as much as I wanted to, but it has left a profound, profound mark on me. And that, Andy, you will be familiar with this one, is Spiritfarer.
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Spiritfarer is a beautiful game. It is charming as hell. It is gorgeous. It is sweet. It has wonderful gameplay. I wish I had given it much more time than it deserved, and I hope to do so very soon. Maybe in the next couple of weeks, so that I can make a more informed decision as we go forward with our rewards. But that's definitely up there for me. Yeah. Andy, what would you like to nominate here?
I have several games.
Let's do one at a time, and then we'll call back. Okay. We'll swing back around.
I also have several games.
All right. Well, I have two, so it's not.
We're gonna try and keep it to two each if we can.
I did two.
Oh.
And if we, but we might double up. We might also double up. You never know.
Right.
So let's see what you got, Andy.
The first of my two was Streets of Rage 4.
Okay.
Because when it comes to beat 'em ups, to see that franchise come back and in such a big way, and it wasn't horrible like other beat 'em ups that came back this year.
Mm.
It was actually really, really good.
Ribbit.
And it captured the essence of Streets of Rage so perfectly. And again, for a sprite maniac like me to love this art style as much as I did is a big deal. So great gameplay, great artwork, amazing soundtrack. Hands down, one of the best of the year.
Indeed. Yeah. Taylor.
My nomination. I'm actually going to skip one. I have others that I'm also going to nominate for Game of the Year, so we will skip those. My nomination for Best Indie Game is The Red Lantern.
That's a good one.
It's a good one. Former guest of the show.
Really good.
I reviewed this game for the site. I absolutely adored this game. It is the cutest little puppy dog sled simulator you have ever seen, but it's a roguelite. It's so cool. It's beautiful. The voice acting from Ashley Birch is incredible. And the dogs are just the cutest things ever. So The Red Lantern is my first pick.
All right.
Indeed.
Really quickly, Steve, what was your first one?
Spiritfarer.
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 So my other pick.
Sure.
For best indie games, this is a total personal preference. Like, I know it's not going to win awards, I think, anywhere else but this show. If it wins, it's not going to win. And that is Carry On.
Carry On was dope.
Carry On, Carry On is awesome.
You're a fucking blob eating scientist. It's a game, set, match. It's like, it's got amazing pixel art. You're playing as a blob, a thing that eats people, digests them, spits out body parts, evolves, grows, learns new shit. It's just fun. It's like one of those games where It's not too demanding of your attention. There's no serious story to get bogged into. It's just eat people and have fun while you do it. And that's why it deserves nomination for best in the game.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair nomination. I do not disagree with throwing it on the list.
I had Carrie on my list, and that was actually what I was going to say next.
right there, buddy, right there.
In lieu of Carrie on, I would like to nominate Deep Rock Galactic.
Okay.
You did mention this one in the Discord, yes.
Deep Rock Galactic came out earlier this year, and that game is super cool. If you guys like Left 4 Dead, it's made by a pretty small team. And you are little dwarf guys mining into this asteroid, fighting aliens. It's super, super cool. I haven't put a ton of time into it, so it's probably not going to make any of my other lists. But from the little I have played of it, it feels really fun to play, and I'd like to play more of it. So I would like to give a nod to Deep Rock Galactic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's something that's been on my – it's in my list. It's on my radar. It's something I really wanted to play. For a while now.
It's on Game Pass, correct?
Yes.
Yes
it is.
There you go.
That's a dope video game. I've been struggling going back and forth because there are some games that I want to put in here that would fit really well in the multiplayer category. That were also indie games or whatever. But I am going to go and I want to talk about Bugsnax. Because believe it or not, Bugsnax is an indie game. And
it's
a dope indie game. And it's adorable and it's terrifying. And it's got really fun gameplay. And it kind of took the world by storm there. So I want to throw Bugsnax on there as my second nomination. I still haven't finished the game. That is on my to-do list. I will finish it. It's got like that Pokemon Snap-esque figure out their pattern and figure out how to like get them in the proper spot and like, but it also has like trapping and kind of world building, kind of like the Dark Cloud style world building that I like, although to a much lesser extent. And it's a beautiful love story. Ooh, Bugsnax. All right, let's go down to best multiplayer game. And the first one I want to put on this list, I'm not going to do an obvious one. Bacon Switch.
Oh, wow. Bacon Switch.
Bacon Switch is... on the PC, because the Switch version is terrible. Is one of my favorite little gems that we were able to see at PAX East this year. It came out, unfortunately, right when another nominee is gonna be spoken about. It kind of got lost in the shuffle. They've had several sales on Steam to try and get this thing into more people's hands. If you have not given this one a chance and you have a PC and you have a Steam account, check out Bacon Switch. We've had developers on the show before. It's a great little game. It is similar to Overcooked in the aspect that you're trying to work together to basically meet demands of this oven. And there's these little dough creatures that you have to combine into bigger dough creatures. You throw it in the oven, you get points, and you're trying to reach points to get as many three stars on a level. Then there's enemies that you have to fight and avoid and different types of dough that you need to combine and yada yada. And the levels are fun to like move around. But it's a great multiplayer game. It's a lot of fun, and I highly recommend it. Andy?
My first nomination is Not Marvel's Avengers.
Not Marvel's Avengers, got it.
Yeah.
Not Marvel, anything but. Yeah. So what you're saying is you're using a veto card just in case either of us, who haven't played this game, will nominate this game for a multiplayer game of the year.
I'm blackballing it. It's just... it's a game
Andy's spot.
It's a game where my interest fell off so quickly. I think like within the span of a week, I was done with it. And a multiplayer game shouldn't last that little of a time.
Sure.
So I was like, fuck it. So definitely not Marvel's Avengers as okay. my nomination for multiplayer game of the year.
Taylor, what do you got?
My nomination is a game that Steve and I have been playing together quite a bit recently.
Indeed.
Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War.
Indeed, Cold War.
I thought for sure this was going to be the first Call of Duty in almost 11 years that I did not buy because I was so put off the series. And I just did it. I gave in because I'm a weak little baby boy. And I bought it. And I have been having so much fun. I play this game almost every single night with our friends. And I think it's one of the best entries into the series in a very long time. So,
awesome.
Call of Duty Black Ops.
Andy, let's swing back to you.
All right. Now for an actual realistic choice. And that's Ghost of Tsushima. It's, to me, it is a very unlikely multiplayer
interesting
game.
okay
right, because it takes the good stuff from the Ghost single player, and you would think, okay, how can this work with four players in multiplayer, or even two for the story mode parts? But this shit is addictive. Like, once you start playing it, I couldn't put it down. Like, doing daily missions, getting friends on, just playing with strangers. I have never been this social in a game before.
Sure.
You know, I don't play many multiplayer games. It's not my thing. It's not my milieu, as they say. But this one had me hooked for, like, weeks. And I still go back from time to time. It's just that good. Because the bones of Ghost is so addictive. That gameplay loop.
Strong. Yeah.
It's so fun. The parrying, the stance switching, the abilities.
I'm not going to lie. I fell off of it pretty quick. I really enjoyed it. And I still enjoy it. It was, I don't know. I just kind of, I just fell off of it. I don't really, there was no real reason for it. Right. So I'm going to, for sake of, are you going to be throwing another game on the list, Andy, or is not Avengers your actual pick?
These are my two picks.
Okay, fair. So then I'm going to throw a couple in here then, because you have to. So Fall Guys is definitely going on here.
Oh, there you go. Of
course. Fall Guys is a phenomenon. It is a blast to play. They're updating it fantastically. What they have going in this game. We had a blast playing it the first time we played it at PAX East. Fell in love with it. It came out and just took the world by storm. It's a fantastic video game. If you haven't played it, it's great. I just had it in my head and now it's gone. But yeah, let me just start with that. So just to recap, we got Bacon Switch, Call of Duty, Ghost of Tsushima Legends, technically it was the Legends mode, Fall Guys. And my other pick, believe it or not, did come out this year. It came out in January, but just recently got its PS5 edition. It's a game that disclosure, I backed on Kickstarter. It's technically in an early access on PC, and that's Temtem. Temtem is fucking great.
It is good.
Like, really, really good. It is essentially a Pokemon MMO with brilliant monster designs and a fantastic, fantastic combat system that foregoes your random RNG critical hits, this and yada yada. It's a massive rock, paper, scissor, essentially, where all the monsters are good against this and or bad against that, and you just need to remember and just use that to your advantage. Build your team so that it's balanced, so that you can go out there and I'm telling you, the MMO aspect of it isn't exactly the best part of it. So having it as the multiplayer game, but is maybe not the greatest, but the fact that it is the Pokemon with air quotes MMO that people have been asking for like 15, 20 years now, they nail it. They hit it. You see other people running around training, doing the missions, doing battling each other. And it's just a beautiful world. And they did such a great job. That's going to be my final nom. Taylor, what's your final nom here?
Yes. Question is, does the game have to have had come out this year for the multiplayer one.
Technically, yes. But the Game Awards did not seem to care about that.
I've been playing a lot of Splitgate lately. But all right. So if that's the case, then I would like to nominate Phasmophobia.
Dope.
Which will come as a shock to a lot of you because I hate ghosts. I hate spooky things. I've only played this game twice, and I've had an absolute blast doing it with friends. So
you are simultaneously the best and worst person to play that game with. Because
I like hiding.
I mean, that's fine. It's your mouth.
He protects me.
It's your mouth.
The ghost comes after me, but it gets Steve because I'm inside his body. So
the game is glitchy as hell, but it's great. It's wonderful.
The jankiness is what makes it fun, I think. Like the weird, like this pose that your character does if you crouch and look up at the sky while you're holding something, like it just it's a nightmare. Yeah.
I agree. I didn't even think to put that on the list for some reason, but I love that game. All right, so let's get into best first Sony first party game. And I'm just going to throw it on there because I think it's pretty obvious at this point, but you got to throw Ghost of Tsushima on this list. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic video game.
Easily.
I don't want it to be a franchise. Like, I just want this to be the thing, but it can easily be. But I hope it isn't. Because it's such a nice, concise story, and you don't need to infamous this. You know what I mean? Like, it could just be the thing that it is. But I digress.
Well, I have a game I'd like to nominate that also we didn't need because the first game was a masterpiece in its own right. The Last of Us 2.
Mm-hmm.
For all I've bitched about this game's plot in certain aspects, it's a test in patience, and this game will destroy you. it guts you from the inside out. Like, if you have any hope for humanity left, when you play this game, it will rot all those emotions away.
It reminds you that people are more like Andy.
With a black sucking wound where your heart used to be. By the time the credits roll on this game, you want to die. And that's why it's, I think, game of the year.
That's fair. Taylor, now I know you have not played your PlayStation in quite a while. So
I have a nomination for this category, Steven.
All right, beautiful.
And I just want to say, well, the game I'm nominating is MLB The Show 20.
Okay.
And I don't want you guys to laugh at this.
Why would I laugh?
The developers at San Diego Studio, I would argue, are like a top three Sony studio. They put out incredible content every single update. They make, I would argue, the best sports annual game on the market, and they put so much love into it. They really care about the players that play the game that don't put additional money into the game. They give you so many ways to field a really competitive team for completely free. You never have to buy the in-game currency. Mm-hmm. They don't use some of the like scummy tactics that you see in Madden or 2K.
2K and is egregious.
Consistently put out incredible work, and I would argue this has been their best game in 5+ years. So I don't think it'll see any love anywhere else on this list, so I want to make sure the San Diego Studios and the team behind MLB The Show 20 get some love from this outlet. So
they are wonderful.
That is my nomination.
Very nice. Very nice pick.
I'm going to throw obviously on this list. I mean, it was one of my favorite experiences this year, but that's Miles Morales. Mm-hmm. It was the first PlayStation 5 game I booted up, which of course I know exactly what Andy's next pick is going to be. But Miles Morales is such a joy nonstop. beginning to end joyous experience. Period. End of discussion. It is a concise 10 to 14 hour little experience. Everything about it is wonderful. The story's wonderful. The characters are wonderful. It is gorgeous to look at. The gameplay is fantastic. I loved every single second of it. And I wish more games were this were as, I'm using air quotes, short as Miles Morales. I don't need a 20, 25 hour game anymore. I'm okay with a 10 hour, 12 hour experience at this point. And I think it was perfect. I honestly do think this game was worthy of a 10 out of 10, in my opinion. Just a blast, an absolute blast to play. And Andy is nominating Demon's Souls. Okay, let's move on.
Yes, he is. really quickly.
Yeah.
Are we counting that as Sony first party? It's PlayStation exclusive, but it's Bluepoint.
Right.
I think
also Japan Studio is
Japan
there,
Studio
in
also help on it. Okay.
They did.
We'll give it to you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Demon's Souls game is cool. There we go.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Game is great. All right. Again, you want to actually, we'll give you the time. You tell us what's so great about Demon's Souls.
I'll say one quick thing. The game is so good. I don't want Bluepoint to make any original ideas or IPs. Just squash them, put them in the garbage can, just remake things. You're so good at it. That's all I'm going to say.
Yep. I agree.
Yep.
All right. Nintendo first party game.
This was a hard one for me.
Easy for me to pick the one, and I'm only going to pick the one.
Like, I also only have one, and I think it's the same one.
Did we all pick Animal Crossing?
Is that that's correct. Congratulations to Animal Crossing. You have won. You're the only one that has won.
The board.
You did it. Animal Crossing's fucking great. I need to get back to it. I'm so mad that I fell off that game as hard as I did. But it was really like an addiction. It wasn't, I needed to stop playing that game because I wasn't playing anything else at all.
You know, I was, this category made me a bit sad because it was very slim pickings for Nintendo. Because I was like, you had Animal Crossing, Age of Calamity, was some Pokemon DLC that came out this year?
Pokemon DLC, thing, right?
You had Pikmin 3 Deluxe.
Luigi's Mansion?
All-Stars. Okay.
Was that this year? Was it Luigi's Mansion this year?
Paper Mario. It was last year. Not a lot of
getting confused
big
now.
Big stuff. So again, it's obvious choice, but
oh, that's right, it was.
It makes me sad. That's
I think if I played Age of Calamity, because I did not play Age of Calamity, but I know a lot of people really like that game. But if I actually played it, I would probably have nominated it just because of. I can't say that. Maybe I wouldn't. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it a lot of people really like that game. So I don't know.
All right, best Xbox first party game. Can I go first?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Not Battletoads.
Excellent.
All right, so more serious choice. Grounded.
Yeah.
Love.
Grounded. That was going to be one of my nominations. So there
love
you go.
Love it.
Since it's been early access.
Right. Well, it's still no. It's preview mode, Taylor.
Yes.
Preview mode.
Xbox jargon for early access.
Preview mode. Different. Okay. It's not the same.
In preview, it's not early access. Understood.
Yes. Different.
Sounds I mean,
official. It's better.
Better. It's
preview mode.
Cool.
So yeah, I mean, listen, it's got a lot of components. It's as much of a game as it's going to be at this point. It's fun. It's creative. I dig it. So there's that. And definitely not Battletoads. Those are my picks for Xbox. For
got it. Not Battletoads. Written down. Perfect.
Not Battletoads. Ding. I think that it's hilarious that Battletoads has made the list for many people. I find that very funny. I don't think any are actually coming to mind. Like, I know there was Call of the Sea, but I did not play it.
Wait, so did you play the Flight Sim?
I did not play Flight Simulator. Mm-hmm. I know Gears Tactics was this year, but I did not play that yet.
I have a quick list here of games that have not been mentioned yet.
Okay.
Microsoft Flight Simulator, Gears Tactics, Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Oh, Ori. Ori's a good pick.
Minecraft Dungeon.
Ooh, Minecraft Dungeons. Yeah, yeah.
Ori's a good pick.
Yeah. So Ori and Minecraft Dungeons were my picks.
Okay, throw them on there for sure. Yeah, absolutely. I'll get to them. I have the Game Pass. I could check them out. I could play them. I could see where it should it should fall. I had a really fun time with Grounded in the short time that I had with it. I know that it is very or at least when I played it, it was very, very bare bones. I know they're continue to add to it. So there are, you know, people out there that might dock it for not being a complete experience at its launch. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Okay, so now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty here. The nitty-gritty.
This is the one.
This is the one.
This is the one. I think I know what's going to win before we go into next week's episode, but yeah.
I'm so
feel that confident.
Game of the year.
Game of the year.
Game of the year.
Yes. How does one define the game of the year?
Is it the best game?
Not by downloads, that's for sure.
Mm.
How we do things on this show.
No.
It's something that I think has to elevate a genre or do something just spectacularly well. And I thought about this for a very long time because I play a lot of amazing games this year between Final Fantasy and The Last of Us and Ghosts. Some great indie games too throughout the entire year, but I'm just going to dive right in, boys. One game came to mind immediately, and that game is Hades.
Okay.
Flat out, I think no other game was able to capture my attention as well as Hades did. It was a full-blown addiction, just grinding to beat that game 10 times for the proper real ending. And along the way, you're loving the world, the characters, the art style, and you're enjoying the best roguelike game ever created. And we played games like Dead Cells before that owned that formula. But this is like a next level shit. It's just so good.
Hmm.
From the voice acting, from the combat, from the... It never gets dull. It's like, what, 5 short levels you're blazing through to get to the end? And you're never bored. It's always entertaining each run. And you fail, and you rinse and repeat. And the world builds on your failure. The characters react when you mess up or where you die. And it's that charm, that effort that they put in Supergiant Games that they're just only they can do so well. And that's why it's game of the year for me. Hands down.
It's fair.
No big budgets, none of that stuff. It's just pure gameplay. I love it.
You mentioned one of my nominees, and that's Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah.
I don't think, aside from when Miles Morales came out, I have not had pure joy from a gaming experience in a long time. Pure, unfiltered joy. The gameplay in that video game, say what you want about what it did to the story and chopping, yada, yada, yada.
Sure.
The fucking game is so good.
They did it. They pulled it off.
That's combat is so good. The tone, I don't understand how they created a 40-hour game out of a 4-hour chunk of a story, but they did it, and it never felt boring. It never felt long in the tooth. There was one chapter where you had like a lot of bullshit you could do if you wanted to, which was fine. But the combat, holy shit, man. It was some of the most fun gameplay I have played. Period.
That's true. This is very true.
And that's one of my nominees. All right. Taylor.
So Andy already took my number one nominee that I had to make sure was
you, jerk.
Because Hades is absolutely incredible. I will echo everything that he said to the moon and back. I adore that game. But another game in a similar vein to Hades that came out this year that I don't think is on any of your lists that I almost put in best indie game, but decided because of the joy I've had with it this year, I'm putting it up for game of the year, is Risk of Rain 2.
Ooh. Yes.
Risk of Rain 2.
Yes.
Does one of the coolest things that a lot of other roguelites are afraid of. And that is, it makes you on almost every single run break the fucking game. You get all of these different abilities and attachments and things like that that just are so stupid. And you can take them like way further than any other game will normally let you. Most of these other roguelite games, they do a good job of making you feel powerful. Risk of Rain 2 lets you just create some of the dumbest stuff, some of the coolest builds ever. And they have really fun little secrets that you have to find, hidden endings. You have to do really obscure things to unlock all of the characters, and I love all of that. I feel like the execution on Risk of Rain 2, especially the balancing that they've done from the multiplayer aspect of it, is almost perfect. And that game is an absolute blast. So, Risk of Rain 2.
That's on my radar, man. I want to play that game a lot. I really do. I want to play that game. It looks like it's so up my alley. Now, I want to say Ghost of Tsushima is my next one. But I'm kind of banking that Andy's going to pick that because I really do believe that Fall Guys deserves to be nominated. And I know it's nominated on multiplayer, whatever. The game is great. It's so good. It's so much fun. It had its issues coming out of the gate with server. It had its server issues, but that's because the demand for that game was like 20 times what they were prepared for. The game's got legs. It's fun as hell. The level designs and game designs are only getting better. They added a like expert mode. I forget what they call it exactly. I'm sure the chat will tell me, but they added like an expert mode where you could play the classic tracks with more hazards in them. So like if you think you're really good at the game and you want to challenge yourself, you could add these extra hazards like Big Yidus or these giant blades and stuff like that, make things a little bit more interesting. It's so easy to start playing Fall Guys and then it's 4 a.m. So easy. Totally. It's a lot like Among Us. Like if Among Us came out this year, it would be on this list. It would be a game of the year nomination. Yeah. 100%. Because it's one of the games that will start at 10 o'clock and then it'll be 3 a.m. and be like, what just happened? What happened? Yeah. And that's kind
of
what
Fall Guys is. All of us are wanting to play a little bit more, but yeah, no, it's irresponsible.
Because we all want that imposter run. We all want that one more imposter run. Like, let's do one more. And then you don't get imposter. You're like, okay, I could do one more. Oh, look at that. I have time for one more. And then like you get imposter. You're like, all right, I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Andre Hess?
Well, it's going to shock you, but I didn't nominate Ghost of Tsushima.
You're a bastard.
Because I felt there was another game that the gameplay had me more hooked into, and that was Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's just, you know, it's, again, they pulled it off. When you think about remaking one of the all-time best RPGs ever developed, the game that essentially broke through the Western audience and made it like a huge deal here in the States, Final Fantasy. Yes, we loved VI before that, or III. It was called here, but this really pushed it big time in the States and, you know, globally. And it's a sacred experience, that game, its original form. And to take it and to upgrade it and to elevate that combat, that gameplay. And even with the little story changes we got at the end, that little blue balls tease, when the first chapter of it all, the first act of it comes to an end, it was a masterpiece, because there was a vision that they had for what this game should be, and it was uncompromising. That they took it in-house, did it themselves, Square Enix, and the result is, I think it's the gold standard for RPG combat, hands down. I mean, yes, I love turn-based in my Persona games. I'm not going to lie about that. But this is just on another level of fun.
Yeah.
And I could play that gameplay, that loop, for like hours. I think I sunk like 100-ish hours in that game.
You did, because you were going for that plat. Did you ever get it,
well,
by
you
the
know,
way?
Now, I'm thinking I'm like two trophy shy.
You coward.
Those cloud outfits.
You
it's like,
coward.
It's so much work. And also Honeybee Inn. Honeybee Inn is what makes this game of the year.
Fair.
Watching Cloud do those sweet, sweet dance moves.
Do we want to nominate two more games, or do we want to keep it at the four since some of us had doubles?
Yeah, I have another one.
Oh
no, I have another one too. But you know, I don't know if. Yeah, I mean, we could do that. Yeah, sure. Because I do have another one, and I definitely want Ghosts on this list, because it is a fantastic video game. But I also want Miles Morales on this list, so I don't know. So, Taylor, what's yours?
Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
That's a good pick. That's a really good pick.
There wasn't another place on this list that I could mention Yakuza Like a Dragon, so I had to make it here.
That's what we do.
The... way that they translate, and I know I've said this a number of times on the podcast, but the way that they translate the like beat 'em up style of Yakuza combat into turn-based combat is so perfectly executed in this game. It's incredibly fun. All of the characters are really charming, and like you just want to be friends with them. You love all of the dumb, quirky things that they get into. And I have played probably 55 hours of that game at this point, and have loved every single second of it. So, Yakuza Like a Dragon is my nomination.
All right. Andy, you're the only one that did not put a second one up here. Do you want to put a second one?
No, I think I'm going to stick to my Hades. And, you know, that's my pick. Because I feel good in that pick.
Okay.
Feel good.
All right. So the next section here is fun. We are not nominating anybody for these. We are simply going to tell everybody what our silly categories are. We're each going to do three categories. And Taylor, you will type these up as we go, as you've been doing in the doc. So my first one is... the get ready for it, and keep in mind I've been playing a lot of old shit. What's old is new award. The what's old is new award.
Okay,
that is going to go to the best game that did not come out this year. Okay. So obviously this is setting up things like, you know, Among Us or, you know, yada yada, et cetera, et cetera.
Ah, interesting. Okay. Interesting.
And I'm gonna throw my second one up there because I didn't come up with a third one yet, and I'll let you guys go. My second one is the What the Clusterfuck Award. This doesn't necessarily have to go to a game. It could go to a news story. It could go to something that happened in gaming. But my God, was there a lot this year. Taylor, what do you got?
My first award is the best game that hasn't come out yet award.
Cyberpunk, got it.
No, Cyberpunk unfortunately has come out.
Did it? It was a fever dream. That hasn't come out yet.
It's specifically for games that are in early access that have not hit full release that I absolutely love.
You know, I have a similar award category, Taylor, but it's game demos I've played extensively this year.
Okay.
There are not even early access.
Game demo of the year.
They were demos that I played for a long time. It's like many hours into it. I'm calling this the best why the fuck isn't this out yet award.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Stop dragging your at your. Okay. I like it. I like it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
All right.
Do you want me to do my next
one? Yeah, do your next one. Do your next one.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
My next one is the best game I played while taking a shit award.
Mm.
It's a good, solid award. Hopefully a solid shit, too.
Girthy, yeah. Mm-hmm. My next category. Now, we always go through what we're playing lately during the week in our best segment on the show, Adventures in Gaming. This is kind of based on that. So there's a lot of games that I forget to talk about on this show that I play throughout the week, either in small bursts or, like, you know, in handfuls here and there.
Sure.
This is the best game I forgot to talk about.
Okay. Okay.
So it's a game that I love, yet failed to mention it entirely on the show I do every single week of my life. So there's that.
Okay. And my final category is the person I hate playing games with the most award. Congratulations, Buzz Killington. You are the recipient of that. No, I'm just kidding. There are a lot of you. There are a lot of you. Most of you are terrible to play video games with. We have great. Thick. Great. We had Wraithmane for a point there that was really fucking grinding my gears. There are a lot of you fuckers out there, and we're giving this award out to one of you. It's going to happen.
Andy, you've got one more.
I have one more. And I think I've saved the best for last, gentlemen.
Okay.
That is the best cock award.
Same.
Now, it's obviously me, but let me expound on that.
Expound, please.
I've played a lot of adult-only games this year.
You did.
But this is not an adults-only category. Because cock can also refer to chickens.
Indeed. Indeed.
And there were some great standout chicken-based games this year that came out. One that I know Steven enjoyed very much so.
Yes.
So.
Indeed.
That's my category.
You could also fit conking a shotgun in there, too.
You could. I'm thinking
Doom Eternal came out.
I'm thinking more dicks and roosters and chickens, but yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, you could go anywhere with this one.
The best cock award.
I like it.
Okay.
That's my last category.
It's a good word.
I've got two different ones that I could go to here. And I want to get your guys' opinions on these, okay? Because I'm torn here. I have the worst best game that I hate / love award.
Okay.
Or the game I was for sure going to get into absolutely positively without a doubt, but didn't.
I like that one too.
That one? That's what I was leaning towards as well.
What was the first one again? The first one? The best?
The worst best game that I hate love.
That sounds like a marriage.
I love it.
Okay, so my final one is the game I was for sure going to get into absolutely positively without a doubt, but didn't.
Now, Andy, you have a hype zone. We're running late here. So I want you to just pocket that hype zone for next week.
Yeah, we'll pocket it.
Let's get to the Facebook question of the week. Facebook question of the week, which I posted before we went live. What's your one video game New Year's resolution? And we have a few here. Friend of the show, Kyle Stevenson, and former guest. Says to get back to the genre I love, RPGs. I've started a bunch and haven't finished any because of the time commitment. The backlog is insane when it comes to RPGs. I sympathize with that. Mark says, I would like to be more realistic and intentional in what I choose to play. I bite off more than I can chew the last 2 years. A friend of the show, Joe, says, to best 100 games. I don't know if he meant beat, but it kind of makes sense also with best. So to beat 100 games. He wants to beat 100 games this year. Go for it, Joe. Caddy says, I have a few. Complete one game a month and write a review. Maintain Genshin. I guess Genshin Impact, stay on that. FFBE, maintain Genshin FFBE accounts while spending minimally on the gacha. What's FFBE?
I couldn't.
Don't speak that language.
FFBE. No, no, no. Also, I intend to get diamond.
Oh, Final Fantasy Brave Exvius.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Right. That's got the gacha mechanics. Okay. Also, I intend to get diamond in League this year. Rocket League, League of Legends. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Brian says play more Genshin Impact.
Okay.
Huge mistake.
And my brother-in-law makes fun of me for playing video games.
Amazing.
That was what he wrote there. Okay. Good. Chat, what do you want to say? Let's talk. Oh man. Okay.
Yeah.
Buzz is putting a news story in here.
No, we're gonna bypass that bullshit.
What is this nonsense? All right. So this is the rumor mill for Xbox. Now, the top 10 biggest rumors. Number 10, In Exile Entertainment is currently working on a steampunk AAA RPG. Obsidian is developing 6 projects, including 3 AAA RPGs. How do you define what a AAA RPG is, you fucking dolts? Xbox has secured publishing rights for a big unannounced AAA surprise that will... Huge. AAA. This guy really likes AAAs, whoever this fucking guy is. Xbox has secured publishing rights for a big... I said that already. xCloud will be joining several new markets next year, including iOS and Samsung TVs. I could see that happening. Several additional titles are launching exclusive for the Xbox ecosystem next year, with Forza Horizon 4, Starfield, and Wolfenstein 3.
Starfield is launching next year? Is that what that says?
That's what that says.
Okay. All right. This is all horseshit. Move on.
Uplay is going to be coming to Xbox Game Pass subscription, just like EA Play did for holiday 2021. It's not called Uplay anymore. It's Ubisoft Plus, I think. Xbox will be dropping Xbox Live Gold or rolling it into... Or. Okay. Yeah. That's not how rumors work. Whatever. Free to play games will not require any subscription. All non-MMO Bethesda ZeniMax titles will be exclusive starting in 2021. Xbox is swinging big again and will be acquiring Sega in 2021. Xbox has already acquired 2 additional studios aside from Bethesda ZeniMax, with one being large and the other being small.
So they're buying maybe 2 of these being true.
They're buying a large studio plus Sega and a small one.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Sega has been doing really well recently.
Yeah, they're not selling to an American company. They're not doing that.
No chance.
Now, I don't know if this person just went around the internet and found what the 10 biggest rumors are, or like what people are saying, or if they did any sort of research to figure this out, or like whatever. Either way, this is the finest crack rock at work. Just the most perfect blue ice crack rock being smoked over here from Idle Sloth and XboxWorlds.com. Only the finest here for you folks. Either way,
I would say if 2 of these are true, Idle Sloth is just like,
pumping
the air. He's so excited.
Guys? whatever makes my $15 a month to Xbox worth it, I'm fine with it. That's all I'm going to get from me at the end of the day. So... I'm cool with more games. I'm cool with 6 games from Obsidian, apparently. For real? They're doing stuff already. They're making 6 more? And they're AAA? Half of them?
Yeah. Do you not know what AAA means? Dumb idiots.
Guys, don't worry. In his bio, the very first thing says Xbox News Guy.
It's official.
This must be true.
Taylor, who's our hype fan member of the week?
Our hype fam member of the week is our good friend Billy the Door over on twitch.tv/Billy the Door. Billy and I organized that Apex tournament that we were talking about earlier in the show. All in all, Billy is a good human. He does a lot of stuff for charity. Very positive person. And also is playing through the entire Ratchet and Clank series in preparation for Rift Apart. Is that what it's called?
Very nice.
Ratchet and Clank Rifts Apart, whatever.
Yes.
every single one back to, you know, PS2. So definitely check him out and enjoy his content. He's a good dude. We love Billy.
Truly so. Wonderful.
Yeah.
No longer streaming right now, though. I was not doing it right now, but he was playing earlier and I love it, and I was watching it, and it is lovely. All right, folks, that is going to bring us to the end of the show. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at @duel_screens on Twitter and at NDS Podcast on Instagram. I'm at @batchout27. Andy is at @pantsguy. Taylor is at @itsperger. Join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/DS Podcasts. And give us a follow over on Twitch at twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. And if you're watching this later on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button, hit the thumbs up, and leave some comments about the show. We would appreciate that greatly. And if you're listening, go over to the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. Thank you to Bradley Parsons, Soundtrain Studio, for our theme song. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our overlay and logos. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our cartoon art. Don't forget, you could support us on Patreon, patreon.com/NDS Podcast. And you could also buy our merchandise at dualscreens.com/store. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yeah, I want to plug this Friday's episode of the Dual Screens podcast.
Please do.
We spoke to Emric Toma, who is director over at Game Breakers. We talked about Haven for a long time. Great show. Really great show. And Happy New Year soon to all you lovely people out there.
Yes.
That we adore so very
much. Tis the new year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. And as always, please be excellent to each other.